Tyler Donahue joins us, 247 Sports. Great to have you with us, as always.
Thanks to have me. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You had an exciting one last night. Nice to be on with you today.
It was. Games are exciting. Recruiting can bring with it some drama. Any drama on letter of intent day that you're looking for?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was everything 5-6 years ago and all the years before that. I wouldn't be sleeping much the past few days ahead of this kind of an event, but now it's a lot of leftovers. There's still some big fish out there, but not really in Penn State's realm right now. They got their big fish in December. A couple names to know here: Tyrese Mills, a Lackawanna College safety who was slated to sign in December. I caught up with him on signing day and was dealing with some academic things that need to be tidy up for him to sign with Penn State. Our understanding, our reporting at Lions 24/7. Is that he will sign with Penn State tomorrow. James Franklin obviously having a press conference at 11:30. If it happens, it would happen in the morning. Mills, of course, will be the latest safety to come from Lackawanna following Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown, and the heck of a standard that those two have set. And then there's an offensive lineman who popped up late here in the 2022 cycle. It's a position, an area, a room, whatever you want to say, that needs to be addressed in a big way. You need to see improvements there for this year and building towards the long term.
Visited over the weekend.
Yes, and a couple commitments in the 2023 and 2024 cycle on the offensive line. And then in the 2022 cycle, Washington State offensive lineman Vega Ione made his final official visit before his decision, which is going to come tomorrow morning, I think around 11:30 Eastern time. Washington is looking to keep him in the home state. The Huskies just underwent a coaching staff change. So, that kind of created a need for them to reset things with him. Penn State swooped in, got the late visit. Phil Troutwine spent some time, made a cross-country visit out there, met with the family. So this is a program at Penn State, a very small recruiting class on the offensive line last year, maybe not as big as they were hoping for right now. So I think we're looking at those two names, Mills, Ione tomorrow, and then we're still keeping tabs on the transfer portal, of course, for roster building.
Yeah, let me ask you about that from the professional point of view. There's a way to cover, recruiting and verbal commitments and then letter of intent day. And there was always that cycle, as you talked about. Like, okay, Thursday after, it's like, okay, we'll write the postmortem stories, rest that weekend, and then move forward afterward. What has the portal done for your job and how you have to cover it?
Yeah, I think that it has basically, the signing day here in February was already, quite put on the back burner after the December signing period. But I think the transfer portal, there's more of a precedence on trying to figure out a way to use your roster numbers towards immediate impact help, I think, especially once you get through that December signing period where most teams like Penn State, the bulk of your prospects, you're not really expecting them to contribute in big ways for another 2 years. So the expectation is with a transfer portal player like a Mitchell Tinsley they brought in at wide receiver is a guy who's going to at least contribute in your two deep, if not come in and win a starting job. And we saw that play out last year. So I think the thing that gets a little dicey is when you don't seize on the first wave, it's kind of a cycle thing. There's that first wave right after the season, around the bowls, players jump in, a bunch of big names find homes. Caleb Williams, of course, committing to USC today. That was really the biggest name out there right now. And now I think you're saying, okay, well, who can you get on campus to help you with May? Because you've already kind of passed that threshold where guy's going to be part of the process for winter workouts and spring ball. And they had that last year with Arnold Ebiketie and Derek Tangelo. And a few of those guys were there in January. Don't have that this year except for one wide receiver. So the tricky part is now it's not just addressing your roster, but you've really got to find the right fit. And you can't really afford to miss on bringing in, 22, 23-year-old down to one more year, 2 years of eligibility. If you're bringing them in May, you're bringing them in with the mindset that they have the goods to come in and win a starting job. And I think that the name to know there is Hunter Norzad. We've seen this play out before. An Ivy League offensive lineman draws interest from Penn State. Eric Wilson ended up being the starting left guard for the Nittany Lions last year. Hunter Norzad, I'm sure if he were to pick Penn State, we'd have to throw his hat in the ring as a potential starter on the offensive line. We're looking at it as a guard prospect here. And he's coming down to the wire. He's been to campus, and I think, you know, we'll continue to monitor. There's been a couple new offers, North Texas twins, a couple of edge rusher linebacker types got offers from Penn State a few days ago. But those are the two areas I think you're looking at: the edge on defense, maybe linebacker as well, and then offensive line. I think you've got to at least bring in one guy like a Norzad who has starting experience and to kind of stabilize things a bit up front as you try to get these competitions underway, finding your best five.
All right. The early signing period has been in place for 5 years. There's more murmurs about, you know, that they need to change it. If they were to change it, as somebody who covers this recruiting cycle all the time, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the signing date where it is now in December and then in February? Do you should it be just the February date, or should the early signing date be earlier?
Well, I think it gets really tricky because we're always talking about how with the early signing period, it has basically become a collision course annually with the coaching carousel, mm-hmm. and that's leading to earlier coaching decisions. I'm not convinced, though, that if we're trying to look out for the best interest of the high school going to college athlete here, that, you know, setting up an early signing period up before the season is good in theory, but there's going to be a lot that happens between then and January enrollment in terms of coaching changes. I think by the time you get to mid-December, a lot of the major coaching changes, a lot of them have happened. Now you certainly see some more happen around bowl season and all that. But to me, there's two arguments here, because you hear people saying, well, we got to move it up. It's too much of a headache with the coaches' stuff. It's too much of a headache for the coaches. I think we got to make sure that whatever the decision is for the athlete, it's looking out for their best interest. I don't think you need to make a decision to make sure that you can clear the schedule for a coach who's making $6, $7, $8 million a year. I think it's more important to make sure that you're getting players and prospects and their families comfortable enough and going to programs where you're putting that transfer portal maybe less in play. Because I think you know, the problem with the transfer portal and what that has presented is it's kind of feeding off of the uncertainty that can come with recruiting. And, you know, when you're going to a school and you have these coaches, the coaches who recruited you aren't there almost immediately, and that happens often, then you start thinking transfer portal. And I'm just not sure what the answer is, because moving the signing day up, you're still going to set yourself up for the coaching carousel to mix with it. I don't know if there's a great answer, I don't have one for you.
Right. See, that's why I look at college basketball. College basketball has seamlessly had an early signing date before the season. Mm-hmm. Basketball coaches leave at the end of the regular season. They do all the time. There's a late signing date as well. Some reason, I know it's a different time of the year, but somehow they seem to do it.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of coaches now who are saying this isn't working. We've got enough of a sample size to establish that it's not working. Something needs to be changed. But I think right now, the one thing I do like is that you get through this early signing period, and there's an opportunity here for some players to rise up. You know, mm-hmm. some of these three-star guys, all of a sudden they have big Power 5 programs chasing them. That's a pretty cool aspect of it, but overall, you're right. It has created some concerns from the coach's perspective, from the prospect's perspective, and you know, say what you will, but the NCAA has a long list of things that need to be reconsidered and looked at with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I think so. I think they have a long, long list out there. Is there, just on the national viewpoint, is there a name or two out there that that we'll finally find out tomorrow? And you know, what is some, and this, you know, it's not going to be, you know, dealing with Penn State. We've already outlined Penn State, but a couple of bigger names out there?
Yeah, there are certainly still some highly rated recruits out there. You know, Christian Miller is a blue-chip defensive lineman who's committing. He's got Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Miami, and Arkansas in that mix. I think Jordan James, the running back out of Tennessee, is one of the premier offensive players left on the board. You know, he's looking at the Georgia, Oregon, Florida. Shamar Stewart is a name that Penn State was in on earlier, a five-star mm-hmm. defensive yep. lineman out of Florida. He's probably deciding between Texas A&M, which has a monster recruiting class, and staying home in Miami. Those are a few that pop up, but I know that there are, I think we've got at least four or five of our five-star players at 24/7 Sports going into this February, you know, without the decision being made. So maybe it won't be the noisiest, splashiest day for Penn State, but across college football, it still matters. It just pales in comparison to what this first Wednesday in February looked like.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's completely different now. Based on whatever service it happens to be, it's looking like Penn State now has three five-stars in the most recent class. What the 24/7 rankings, probably have them right around the neighborhood at the very least. What does that say about what they've been able to do with this class, and what do you think it now sets up for 23? Because I know there's some people internally that think 23 has the potential to be even better.
Right. I mean, it's early on, but right now, 2023, Penn State has the number four recruiting class in 24/7 sports rankings with seven commitments, number six class in 2022 with most of those guys signed in December.
Yeah.
I think that, we do have three four-stars. It's the first time in 24/7 sports rankings history that three future Nittany Lions end up in five-star status.
Yeah.
Deni Dennis Sutton jumped about 65 spots. I'll tell you what, I think what it does is it says a lot about the message and the conviction that James Franklin and his coaching staff have been able to not just get across early, but to carry through some adversity, because the season did not end in any way, shape, or form like we thought it might when they were 5-0. And it's pretty easy to recruit when you're 5-0, and it's pretty easy to say, "Hey, hop on the bandwagon."
Yeah.
But when it starts looking less like a bandwagon and more of a fixer-upper, that's when you got to have those tough conversations. And James Franklin's contract extension was a big win for this recruiting cycle in 2022. But to be able to get out of the other side and a 7-6 season, to sign the number six class, the number one running back, the number one quarterback, the kind of defensive lineman and Deni Dennis Sutton that Penn State really hasn't brought in on a consistent level and very few and far between, that speaks volumes. To me, it's though the middle of that class that you go through, a bunch of four stars. I mean, the meat of this class could be really special. And nine guys on campus already. I think there's a lot to like about that group. And looking to 2023, they've got a heck of a start. I think on the offensive front, particularly, they have three, maybe four offensive linemen. If you think Mega Barnwell ends up there, he's maybe a tight end, maybe a defensive end. But I really like the way that they've gone out and just despite the wins and losses, there's a lot of teams that can't survive that. And Penn State hasn't been able to shine on the football field, but they are shining on the recruiting trail right now.
Yeah, because the key right now is the stack classes.
Yes. Absolutely. Stack classes, stack position rooms, that's easier said than done. If you can follow up and bring in a high-quality quarterback or another high-quality running back, you don't want lapses in recruiting, because I don't care how many stars the guy's got next to his name on signing day, those disappear when you step foot on campus.
I've noticed. All right. I see that in practice all the time. So I tell everybody all the time, I said, I don't look at highlights. I said, I want to see them when they're up against comparable talent. All right.
Yep.
Tyler, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Great job as always.
Thanks for having me. Be well.